Like I told you yesterday, we talk about the sun. That's a big yellow one. Yeah,
it's
right. Right?
It's pita.
It was on when I did that.
Nice. Like an idiot. Yeah, I'll stack it on top.
I'll play it every day. Just you to hear.
I don't understand half of it, or any percent of it, to tell you the truth. But when you said you could take from the Maharal and the sugya, Antoninus wanted to know why the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And Rabbi said, if it would rise in the west and set in the east, then you would ask that question. So Antoninus says, no, that's not what I was asking. He wants to know why it has to rise in one place and set in another place. Let it rise in the east, go all the way around, come back in the east and set. The Rabbi answered that question. Let me answer that question. Maybe it says, Kedelitin Shalom Lekaina. In order to give Shalom to its creator. Now that's a myth there. It's a side. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west to give Shalom to its creator. And then Antoninus asked him back, so why does it have to go all the way to the west to give Shalom to its creator? Let it set right in the middle of the firmament, right in the middle of the Rakia. Why does it have to go all the way down to set? And Rabbi answers him, because then there wouldn't be enough daylight hours for people to do what they have to do. That's yesterday's Gemara. It's obvious. The topic under discussion is the sun. The sun doesn't have a bechira. You can't understand this Gemara with an astrological model. I know that's going to frazzle your circuits. It's a conceptual thing. Hashem, you know, the truth is we can't imagine it, but if Hashem would remake the world, he could do that. Could you imagine the way this world looked before it was created, with all the laws and the rules? It's only after we have it that we could see it. So if Hashem would do it, he would do it in a totally different way, and that question wouldn't bother you. It only bothers you because you're in the world where... Yeah. But I know that's not the kind of thing to say to you. Short circuits here. You're too straight. The sun doesn't have bechira. The sun doesn't make decisions. The sun doesn't give shalom. It doesn't. It doesn't give shalom. So that means that another aside. Anything in creation, or anything that the Gemara, whenever the Gemara discusses. This Gemara, not to the exclusion of any other Gemara. Including all Gemaras. When Chazal discussed inanimate objects and their behavior or their nature and the lessons that emanate from them, the lesson that is meant is directed solely towards people that have Bechira, towards Bala Bechira. That's us. So when the Gemara is saying that the sun sets in the west to give Shalom to its creator, it's doing that for this purpose, for the sake, for the education of Bali Bechira. We said the Shekhinah is in the west. Now why it's in the west, Shekhinah is in the west. We provided evidence to that from where the Kodesh Kodashim was situated. That's in the west. Shekhinah is in the west. God is everywhere. When you say the Shekhinah is in the west, that means God allows himself to be perceived in the west. the western part of the temple compound. It was where God permits himself to be perceived. Lekesh Kadasha, more than any other place. The further you go west, the closer you're getting to that area where God reveals some of his splendor to people. God's everywhere, but he's hidden. When you say that God is in the west, the Shekhinah is in the west, so that means that's where he allows us to perceive him. If the sun would come out of the east and set in the east, we'd be missing a valuable lesson. Chaim V'lazhar and his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. It discusses some of the fallacies in people's beliefs. And this is a very common fallacy. It's called the wind-up clock theory. God made a clock. He wound it up. And now it's ticking. I would say that it's a very common fallacy. God made the world. He made it, even among believers. He made it 5,767 years ago. And now he made it. You build a model of the Beis HaMikdash out of Lego. And you made it. Why is it there? Because you made it. And once you made it, it's there. And Rav Chaim V'lozhin provides proof from Psukim and from Chazals that is a falsehood. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 7 days. He created the world by willing things into existence. It's mamish the way Hashem created things. By human beings, just because we want something doesn't mean we get it. By God, that's not the case. He wants it. It is. So he wants the world. It is. It's a pasuk. Who amar? Vayehi. He said, and it was. Who tziva? He commanded. Vayamoid. God expresses it. It is. He expresses it is. There's no such thing as, you know, you can never refer to creation in the past tense. God wants something, it is. So then it only is if it's replenished by God wanting it. As long as God wants it, it is. God ceases to want it, Chas V'Shalom. It isn't. You can never talk about the creation in the past tense. We say in davening every day, the Kaddish, the Tuvai, Kal Yom Tamim Masav Reishis. Kaddish Baruch Hu renews each and every day, constantly, the works of creation. That's present tense. On Shabbos and Sukkot Zimra, we said, La'isi Orim Gedolim, Ki Le'olam Chasto. Osa, Orim Gedolim, Hashem makes the luminaries, the great luminaries. Why is it in present tense? Did we ever stop to think why it's in present tense? We should say, Sha'asa Orim Gedolim. God made the luminaries. We're praising God because he made the luminaries. But we don't say that. We say we're praising God because he is constantly making the luminaries. And now that you're on the look, be on the lookout for these things. You're going to find a lot of things. The creation of the world is in present tense. God is constant. Now that leads us to the next, to the following conclusion. Could something truly be said to exist if it's dependent on the will of a supreme being? Define existence.
Like someone is dreaming.
No, it's not someone that's dreaming. It's not unlike anything that we have. You define existence as something that's a being, it's a presence. It's here, and since it's there, it's going to remain here until something's, you know. You ever heard of the law of inertia? Something will go at the same rate of speed, expend the same amount, until something comes along to change it. So we tend to think of this world as being in a state of inertia. It's here. There could be a disaster, there could be a calamity, there could be things that come and change it, cause us on the wolf to blow up, and until something happens, it's here. If that's the definition of existence, then we don't exist. If the definition of existence is something that's here until something happens to alter that, then we don't exist. Because we're not guaranteed existence from one moment to the next. We're only here for the moment. The next moment's not here yet. I'll give you a very clear example, a very strange example. You know, those of us, we grew up with science fiction. We're the age that grew up with science fiction, the comic books, travel, you know, Back to the Future.
So when God says, I regret having...
Even if the process could be found, how to transport a person through time, is a real strange example. But we'd only be able to travel back in time. We wouldn't be able to travel forward in time. Because the future's not there yet. You understand what I'm saying? It hasn't been created yet. The world only exists now. It doesn't exist in a moment from now. Now this is a very humbling thought. Our existence is solely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because at the very moment he's willing us to exist. It's humbling. And that's why we bow. That's the philosophical underpinning of bowing. When you bow to someone or to something or some, you know, so then you are acknowledging that your existence is totally due to him. The Maharal says that there's two things that set a person apart from anything else in creation. One is the power of speech, of course. There's no other being in creation that has the power faculty of speech. And the faculty of speech means the ability to express intelligent concepts through verbal speech. Parrots don't express anything. There's no process, you know. They're not expressing any thoughts. They're just mimicking. We express our thoughts. We're the only one that express thoughts. And you see, the other one is that the human beings are the only one that walk with an erect posture. We stand erect. And nothing else stands erect. No other member of the animal kingdom stands erect. And actually, we're not part of the animal kingdom. Because the animal kingdoms, a human being has the power of plugging into Malucha. A human being could be a king. A human being could rise above everything. She has an erect posture, but everything else is subservient. But we do bow. We only bow to one. We bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire world bows to us, and we bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maharal says that's the significance, that's the meaning in Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's answer and his response to Antoninus. The sun cannot go in a circle. It'll come out of the east, go around, and then go back, and set in the same place it started. The sun has to set in the west. The Shekhinah is in the west. The revelation of God's presence is in the west. The sun has to set in the west, because the sun setting in the west is a constant display. It's a constant reminder to people, to us, that the sun's very existence is only because God is willing it at that very moment that it should be, and that it has no existence of its own, and there's no independent existence. Bowing represents that. It's called bittul. You know what bittul is? Negation. And because Baruch Hu created the world, the sun negates itself on a daily basis. And that's why it sets in the west.
That's not going to affect.
And that's what Shalom Lakaina means. Shalom, I'm sorry. Use a Lashon. Shalom Lakaina is you bow to the Creator. It's like someone that would bow to his Rebbe. Or a subject of a king would bow to a king, or an Ebbe would bow to his master. Shalom Lakaina. You bow to your Creator. Bowing is an acknowledgement that your existence is nil, it's nished, it's garnished. And you owe your very existence to the one who's constantly willing you to be. And the Son of all things is the one that's chosen to do this. Why the Son? Can anyone tell me why the Son?
It's the greatest display of Hashem's power.
Right. But it's also the greatest danger. Because if you view the Son as separate from God, it's the greatest display of power. All life comes from the Son. All life emanates from the Son.
They mistake the Son for God.
Which happens. They may do it. It happens. It's a real danger. Now we can understand the Vaisa. I mean, they got it. So now you can understand Tanina's next question. You can learn how God is the Gemara without working through the Yesodus. And you think, what is going on here? So that's why Tanina says, if so, then why does it set at its lowest point? Yeah, it descends, it goes down. The light of the sun diminishes. The light of the sun diminishes. And then when it's, you know, dwindling, that's when it sets. He said, if that's the pshat, if that's the meaning, then it should set when it's at its zenith. Now you tell me what he meant.
I'll wipe them out and I'll make you
into the greatest point that you showed that it passed out.
Perfect. Perfect.
He was a smart guy.
So Rabbi answered him that the world needs the sun. The world needs the sun to set gradually. But otherwise, at its highest point, it would set. Okay, let's go weiter, everybody. So you don't, we have to learn. We have to learn. We have to learn. It's very nice discussing things, but we have to learn. I'm sorry?
So what about the travelers?
Yeah, but that's it. The world needs for the sun to set gradually. So it's a Tzarech Haimel. So for God's covered, it would be better for it to set suddenly. But the Tzarech Haimel, for the sake of the world, so God is Michael on his covered. And it sets gradually and it bows. It bows at its lowest point. I mean, that teaches you something about humility as well. Gloria de Chaim pointed it out. You see that God created the whole world for his covet. That's why he created the world. And still he's willing to forgo his covet because the world needs the sun. It's a pellet. Let's go right to Rabbeisa, right. Rish Lakish, Rami Ksiv. Rish Lakish has a contradiction between two psukim. Bum, in them, Iver are going to be blind people. Will be sick and lame people. Hara, be pregnant, be a ledes, and give birth, yachtov, together. See, that pasuk is a pasuk in Yishmia, and it's talking about Tchias HaMeisim, and Tchias HaMeisim is going to be blind people and lame people. Okay. So they're going to be blind and lame people then. Tchias HaMeisim. That means if somebody died blind, he's going to get up blind. Someone died lame, he's going to get up lame. Okay. Seder. Uksiv, and there's another pasuk in Yeshaya. Oz Yedaleg Ka'ayo Piseya. Then is time of Tchias HaMeisim. He's going to skip. The lame man is going to skip. going to skip like an IL, like an antelope. It's going to skip. V'taron lashon ilein, and the tongue of someone who is stricken dumb is going to sing out in praise. Kinivku b'midbar, because there is cloven asunder in the desert. Cloven asunder. It's like they drilled in the desert. Mayim, there's going to be water in the desert. It's going to break out. Nivku means like break out. Unechalim b'arava, and there's going to be rivers in the plains. So you have a contradiction. One pasuk says that the lame person is going to come back, he's going to be lame. Another pasuk is going to skip around like an antelope. That's where Shlokish is. Stira. Haketzad. How do we reconcile it? Haketzad means how do we reconcile it? Ayim din b'mumam. When they get up, they're going to get up with their blemish. Mum's a blemish. Misrapin, and then there's another stage where they're going to be healed. Ula, Ramik Siv. Ula brings a contradiction between two psukim. The pasuk says, Vila Hamava Lanetzach. Death will be swallowed up for all eternity. Vila Hamava Lanetzach. Death will be swallowed up for eternity. Umacha Hashem Dima Mi'akopanim. Hashem will wipe out the tears from all the faces. This is a pasuk where it's customary to say, when one is being Menachem Avelu.
To the
Avel. You say, Shalaynedeshim Tsar, but you say, Amokim Menachem Eskim B'Saych Shara Avelu Tzim V'Shalayim, V'Lay Sosif L'Da Ava Od, V'Mach Hashem Dima Me'al Kopanim. Okay. God should wipe away the tears from all the faces. So there's not going to be death anymore. No one's going to die. There won't be any more. After Tchiyas Hamashiach, amazing, they won't die. They come back to life. They're not going to die again. Siv, and then there's another pasuk in Yeshaya. Ki anar ben meyashani yamos. That someone that dies at the age of 100 is going to be considered like a young man. That's going to be an early time to die. So one pasuk says there won't be any death, and the other pasuk says that people can live a very long life. Like in the times before the Mabul.
Wasn't Adam not supposed to die?
Had Adam Arishan not eaten from Eitz HaDaas, so then he wouldn't have died. It's a pasuk. Pasuk says, B'yem HaChochem Mimena Tamus. Did he only die? But this is too, yeah?
Yeah,
you also get the thing about not dying. What would happen if you were to get by a car?
Yeah.
Well,
car accidents don't happen in the times of Yom HaMashiach. Car accidents happen because of a virus. There's no such thing as something that just happens or accidents.
It's not the snake that kills the bear, I think, right?
Exactly.
And the buffalo somewhere.
Exactly. The Gemara says, very interesting. There's not going to be anyone there that's young of age. You're going to be old. People are going to be old. Like Kasha, it's not a Kasha. This is a great Gemara. Kan be Yisrael, Kan be Yivdechichavim. Jews are going to live and Goyim are going to die.
Does that mean there's going to be a...
But Goyim are going to live longer. Yeah, that's a problem here. That is a problem.
What?
He wants to know if Goyim are going to come back to life. What's the answer?
Yeah, the good guy.
Where do they go then when they die?
The good guy.
Do they just die and then, like,
so this is before Mashiach, and these were righteous guys. Or even not before we kill Adam. Or even after they die, then he's
really just.
Adam Mahab is a series of stages. Like we saw in the Gemara before, that there's going to be Tchiya Samesim for some people before others. And there's going to be a dar, a generation. Could you call Yemaisa Mashiach? And that's the time when people are going to come back to life. Now, when people come back to life, there's going to be people that they didn't die yet. They're going to be alive at the time. So you're going to have people alive and people that came back to life living at the same, you know, side by side at that point. So the Gemara Shilas, what about the people that, you know,
already alive,
they're going to die, they're going to come back to life. There's going to be, you know, there is a transition point in the times between Yemaisa Mashiach and Elam Haba, where you have Tchias Amazim, you also have live people. And there's Goyim there then. There's Goyim, they're going to be alive at the time of Tchias Amazim. And they're going to die. The Gemara says, why did they come to my bayas? And what are the Goyim doing there?
Serving us.
That's the Gemara's answer.
Oh, nice.
The Gemara says, the Chassid Bahu is the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Ram du Zarim. Taisa brings on this Pasuk. When is the Gemara in
Sephardi?
Ram du Zarim, the strangers will stand up. Barod Seinchem, and they will be the shepherds of your sheep. Bnei Nechor. And the sons of Nechor is Goyim, non-Jewish people. Ikarecham, they'll be your farmers. Ikarmecham, they'll tend your vineyards. So you see from this Gemara, then in the period between Yemaisa Mashiach and Tchias Amesim, is going to be Goyim, and they're going to die. But they're going to live a very long time.
How long is that period going to be then?
Who knows? Yeah, nobody knows.
But are Goyim going to come back at the Tchias Amesim?
They die and then
it depends on who. It really depends on who. It really depends on who. And we can talk about this in a few minutes. It really depends on who. The Rambam says that there are Goyim that do get a chelek on Elam Haba. The only way to get a chelek on Elam Haba is through Tchias Amesim. Tchias Amesim is the portal. It's the gateway.
It's warp gate.
It's the warp gate. What's
are people still born after Tchias Amesim?
After Tchias Amesim, you know, by the people that... The ones that come back to life? I don't know.
It's going to be a whole different...
I don't know. It's mashma not, because the Gemara says that Mashiach comes and all the neshamas that Hashem created have been embodied, so... It's mashmanot.
So how about if, like, the neshamas and
there's no neshamas left to bring into this world. It's mashmanot. Yes, the Gemara talks about what would have been if Adam Rishon had not sinned. So then children still would have been born.
Until all the neshamas...
No, nobody would have died. The Gemara says that children are not born to replace dead people. They would have been born anyway. Even in a world where no one died, they would replace, there'd be children. But, that's if Adam Rishon had not sinned. After Tchias Amesim, then all the neshamah is already here. So how could you have someone being born without a neshamah?
Well,
could be. That's what I said. I said it's mashmanat.
Then if he creates his new neshamas, the neshamas won't be having any more work for doing anything.
Hashem could do what he wants, but he has reasons for what he does.
I'm thinking after if children are born, then there's no, like, you will only serve Hashem at that point, then there's
not going to be any Bechira then.
Yeah, but then you won't be having a war.
There's no Bechira, there's no wars.
So exactly, if he creates new neshamas, you're just going to not have any more war.
I don't see a point. Point.
You're going
so
the one
other would have had 600,599,999 kids?
Probably. That's
so
a good guess.
What about older men and women? Where are they in the 600,000 count?
Because they weren't counted in the middle?
Yeah, so... I understand women. Maybe they're connected to the men. But where are the older men?
You're asking a question based on your assumption that Adam would have had that many kids.
Is that so many neshamos?
Yeah, no, but there's dependents. You know, people that... People that are children, they don't count because they're part of their parents' world. People that are older, they don't count because they're not part of this world. The reason why we count the ones between 20 and 60 is because that's the core of Klal Yisrael. That's the Klal Yisrael is created to do, to accomplish. Someone that's too young, they didn't get into the world of accomplishment yet. Someone that's older, they've accomplished what they've done already. But
that means their soul is still one of the other people's souls because they're only 600,000.
They gave birth to them. They're connected to the 600,000. They are, and they're part of the 600,000. It's their children. They're part of the 600,000.
So if Adam would have had kids, it would have been exactly 600,000 people, right?
I said that was a good assumption.
Makes sense, because we know Averus, so we wouldn't need other
people.
It makes
sense, it's no more than other. Right. So yeah, I'm saying it's a good assumption. Because that's the letters in the Torah. That's where it's coming from. On the other hand, it could have been 613 also. I mean, you could use any number. It could have been 613 children because that's the amount of mitzvahs. Or it could have been 10 children because the whole Torah is in the Aseres Dibros. That's what I said. It's only a good assumption. Yes, you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, but what about the Neshamos then? Each one would have had 100,000 parts inside of them. Whatever, how many parts?
Right. this discussion is not leading to Yerusha Mayim. It's not
too much. No,
it doesn't. It's not.
It affects my soul.
Yes, it's not going to affect your soul. We'll never prove it. It's just like sodomites. Rechista Ramiksi, Rechista has a contradiction in Psukim. Bechafra Levana, the Levana is going to be covered up. Ubusha Chama, and the sun is going to be embarrassed. Also covered up. Embarrassment, ashamed. Kimelach Hashem Tzvakes. The king, Hashem, the Lord of Hosts.
Tzvakos?
I pronounced it with a kuf because I want to say Hashem's name.
That word is Hashem's name?
Yes. Tzvakos. When you're talking about an army, it's not Hashem's name. When you're talking about Hashem, it's Hashem's name. So it's Mashman, in the time of Mashiach, in the time of Tchias HaMeisim, the radiance of the sun is going to be diminished. Uksib, and you have another pasuk. Vayar Levana Karachama. The light of the Levana is going to be increased. And the Levana, the moon then, is going to be like the sun is now. Vayar Chama, and the light of the Chama, Yeshivasayim. Shivasayim is 49 times. Shivasayim is 7 times 7. So the light of the sun is going to increase 49 times. Kahashivasayamim. It's going to be the light of the 7 days of creation. You might have heard about this during Hanukkah. This is the Or HaGemes.
Isn't sunlight now like 1/60th of Olam
HaRuach? It says it's 1/60th of Gehenna.
No, fire is 1/60th of Gehenna.
Oh, sunlight is 1/60th of Olam HaRuach? I don't know. Shabbos is Olam HaRuach. No.
It says it in Brachos. Min Zion on the base.
Where was it?
So it's a Ron Brachos Min Zion on the base. I don't know. So you have a contradiction. Is it going to get dimmer or is it going to get brighter? Like Kasha. Kanli Mesa Mashiach, Kanli Namhaba. There's two stages. There's two stages.
Which one's in Yom Mashiach?
Yom Mashiach is when Mashiach comes, and then Olam Haba is after Tchias HaMeisim.
No, which pasuk goes to which?
The Yom Mashiach is when the sun's going to be brighter. Yom Mashiach is when the sun is going to be brighter.
But the Or HaGanuz is still around by Tchias HaMeisim?
There's going to be a Ha'ara of the Or HaGanuz in the times of Mashiach.
Not by Olam Haba?
And then in Olam Haba, the sun and the moon are going to be dimmed. That means that there's two sources of light. We'll break it into three, just for edification purposes. There's the light we have now. Light. There's the light we would have had from the sun and from the moon had they not been diminished. Both of those are Elam Haza things. Both of them are Elam Haza things. And then there's a light which doesn't come from the sun and the moon. It's another source. In this world we have a very, very dim light. You might say Mashiach, because Baruch is going to take that dim light, he's going to raise the switch. You know what a rheostat is? A dimmer switch? So Kashbuk has turned that to the max. But it's the same sun, but the light in the same moon. It's just that Hashem is sending more light through them. And then after Tchias HaMeisim, there's going to be another sort of light altogether that the sun and the moon are not going to be considered anything. We're going to say, oh, that's light? That's not light. That's just Pashut Shah in the Gemara. Mars Akasha. The small down the Ain Bain Ayla Mazeli Mesa Mashiach, and the Shiva Galiyah Kovad. Small says that the world now is going to be exactly the same as the world of Mashiach.
More holy.
We're going to still have our palm pilots. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see clearly, we're going to be able to see the difference between right and wrong. But there's not going to be any differences in the nature of things.
No.
When are we driving around?
It's going to be on a higher maturity.
Right. But the physical world is going to remain the same. And we won't be enslaved by the...
Tibus.
By the Tibus and by the Goyim, yeah. But we'll still have... we won't be enslaved by the Goyim.
They're going to be enslaved by us.
Yeah, they're going to be enslaved by us. Relax. So that's true. How could the sun... So in the pasuk that says that the sun and the moon, their light is going to be... the sun's going to be 49 times brighter, and the moon's going to be the light of the sun. How could that be referring to the days of Mashiach? If Shmuel says there's not going to be any difference between the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon in the days of Mashiach is going to be the same as our sun and the moon. So according to Shmuel, that has to be talking about after the times of Mashiach. But the sun is going to increase 49-fold after the times of Mashiach. So now the contradiction comes back. Because you have one pasuk saying that after the time of Mashiach, the sun and the moon are going to be dimmed. And you have another pasuk saying that after the time of Mashiach, the sun and the moon are going to be brighter. And you can't answer that one pasuk is talking about during an earlier stage, because Shmuel says during an earlier stage, it's the same. So now we're stuck. So my answer is no, Lekasha. Kamba Machana Tzadikim, Kamba Machana Shchina. There's going to be two regions, zones. The words to say these things weren't invented. Two zones, two regions. After Tchias HaMeisim, there's going to be the zone where Hashem finally... I'll give you a mashal.
Two parts?
I'll give you a mashal. I'll give you a mashal. Three zones. There's a dark zone, where everything is dark, and you can't see anything. But all you have is the knowledge that that's not the world. So, you know, let's say somebody that was blind from birth. So not only is he in the dark, but he has no awareness that there is anything besides darkness. But someone with Chas V'Shalom lost his sight. So even though he's in the dark, but he knows that there is light. And there might be an operation to restore a sight also. So that's one zone. It's a dark zone that you have the knowledge that there is, that there's light. It's just that you don't have access to it. Maybe once in a while, you a very strong light on a good day, you'll be able to see something. Then there's the source. Then go to the other extreme. There's a zone that's total light. Total light. I mean, that's something which is beyond comprehension. Do you know what, if they put you in a room with total light, a physical room, with physical light, mine is very basic. They put you in a physical room with physical light. But it's total light. What I mean by total light, no shadows. They could do it. Do you know what you would see? Put you in a room with total light, no shadows. Do you know what you would see? Wait. You wouldn't be able to know. You'd bump into the wall. You'd walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. You'd bump into the wall. Because sight works based on contrast. You adjust the contrast in your monitor and your pictures. If you work on images like I do, I play around with images. Sight works with contrast. The human eye can't see light. You can't see total light. So there's a zone, we'll call it.
So you put the contrast.
It's not total light. There's a part of it, it's not the light, shade. There's edges.
Photoshop.
There's a point where it ends.
You can't see yourself.
There's a point where it ends. You're not seeing the light, you're seeing where the light ends.
There was a wall.
When you see a
four
table,
walls around you,
you see a table. The only reason why you see the table is because at some point the table ends. You're seeing the edges, you're not seeing the light.
If you were in a room where all four walls were just lights, big lights, you wouldn't see anything. There's no shadow.
So then there's a zone, we call it zone of total light. And then there's a third zone. A third zone that it's not the zone of total light, it's the zone that benefits from the total light. Because the total light lights up. So you have the darkness, you have the source of light, and then you have the zone that's lit up by the source of light. Elam Haz is the darkness. The place where the Hashem reveals, Hashem, again, remember, I say this a million times, I'll never get tired of saying it. Hashem is everywhere. But there are zones where Hashem reveals himself. The zone where Hashem reveals himself is called the Shekhinah.
That's total light.
That's total light. And Elam Haba, Elam Haba for Tzaddikim, that's the zone which is lit up by the revelation of the Shekhinah. And this is Gemaris. It's not Kabbalah. Gemaris says in the Yedem Sechus Tainus, that Gan Eden, Tzaddikim, Yashvim, Atrasayim, Bereshayim, sitting around in a circle, you know, the beautiful Vart, that's like a circle because all the different streams of Judaism, they might be different, but they're all sitting around the same circle, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the center, and Atrasayim, Bereshayim, they have a crown on their heads, V'nehenem Yiziv Hashchina, and they're enjoying, they're reveling in the shine, in the glow of the Shekhinah. That's a Gemara. And that Gemara and this Gemara complement one another. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is not in the circle. But everyone from the circle is lit up by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Olam Haba is enjoyed. It's the sheer enjoyment of having a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of being lit up by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being Mesameach us. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mesameach us, like a Chosim is Mesameach a Kala. For eternity, the Chosim is Mesameach the Kala, with Divrei Chachma. You know, it doesn't take much to get us happy. We can get happy by a joke. By a stupid thing like a joke. And we go to a comedy club. And we pay money for the beer. You got to buy a certain amount of beer in the comedy club. What's the difference?
What's the difference?
Why do we do that? Because we want to be happy, and it's worth something to us for someone to stand and make us happy. And that's shallow, and it's worthless. Could you imagine being really happy? genuinely happy by someone that knows how to make his kala happy? That's Elam Haba. There's the source of light. There's the zone, the place, which is Ruf et Tzadikim, to benefit from the light. And then there's Elam Hazeh, which we know of the light, but we don't see it. The Gemara answers, let's go back to the Gemara. Meir Rabbeisai. When the Gemara says that the sun's light is going to be increased, the moon's light is going to be increased, Kadosh Baruch Hu will use the sun and the moon as a vessel, as a vehicle to channel light to us. And when I say channel light to us, it doesn't mean that we could see better. We could see quite well enough with the light of the sun right now. He's going to increase the light of the sun, that because the sun is so much brighter, it's going to enhance our ability to understand. The sun's going to get bigger, it's going to get larger, and because Hashem is going to channel more light through the sun, the world is going to be a clearer place, we're going to understand. We're going to understand so much more. That's Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, our capacity for understanding things is going to be enhanced so much more than we... That's Gan Eden. That's the Makom of the Tzaddikim. But that's only in the zone where the Tzaddikim are, where they are the beneficiaries of the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem is the source of all light. And if you put the sun and the moon next to the source of all light, they're dim in comparison. So yes, the sun and the moon in the time of Tzkiyas HaMeisim is going to be both dim and bright at the same time. It depends on your point of view. For the tzaddik's point of view, Hashem is going to use the sun to channel so much wisdom to them.
Is that like it?
But the source of light, it's mamish nothing.
In gracious the light that they say like Hashem put away.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
The tzaddikim because he didn't want the Rasham to use it.
Right. They don't deserve that. That's like a bazillion. You don't teach.
And God made light, and He saw it, and it was good. Right?
He put it away.
Well, the Mefarshim say He put it away.
This is it. But this is not the ultimate light. This is the light which comes from the sun.
It's just
the light that makes people smart.
It's just what's it called? Preview.
It's the light that makes people smart.
The sun is just a preview.
It's not the source of light.
It's a preview.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Got it? How about it's a demo? It's for news.
You have to let me know if I'm going too heavy.
Ask Rabbi what you ask. No. It may be possible.
Is not going too heavy?
I don't think so.
I mean, today I really, really listened, so I got up to it.
Yeah, but this
what's the difference anyway?
There's a difference.
What's the difference?
Rabbi, if the sun is what gives the understanding, right?
So the yellow one is the sun.
Does that mean that there's like an Indian to learn in the sun? Like that the sun should be, because like, when more sun at you, maybe it's possible that there's more light from the sun, like there's more understanding? Because that light that's coming down now is giving, like I said before, that it gives the sun gives life. The sun gives it gives something. So maybe
the sun gives life whether you're in the sun's rays or not.
And the understanding part.
Yeah, it gives that goes through. Yeah.
It's not the physical sun.
There is understanding that comes through the sun. It goes through walls. It's like ultraviolet rays.
Really, we get our understanding through the sun?
It would be a sun that we wouldn't understand anything.
What?
The sun's rays has an effect on a person that helps them understand.
It's a physical thing, though, no?
Now, you wonder why people worship the sun?
Yeah.
Just give you a little bit of insight into Avodah Zarah. These people were not dumbos.
Wait, who's
I was told that Avodah Zarah is because they saw how amazing Hashem was.
Okay.
And they said that they couldn't go that far.
Well, that's how it started.
If the sun is so amazing, then for sure...
I know, but this is the amazingness of the sun.
It really does?
The sun has everything, yes.
How does it let you think that?
Yes.
You have the car?
Yes.
Very good.
Let's go.
Go good.
How does it sound like you think better? It's just physical.
It's not just physical, because everything Hashem creates has two parts to it. It's good for
Hashem. Bread. In Israel, everybody eats a lot of bread.
If it makes you feel any better, it's the malach of the sun.
Okay, fine, but I don't get this Gemara.
You should have figured that one out by yourself.
Chef, good. Yeah.
You've been here long enough that you should know that by now.
I don't get this Gemara. Okay, the Kofar Ahara Vusha Achama, Kino,
Malach
Hashem Tzvakos. What's that talking about?
I don't know the whole pasuk. Just a part.
It's talking about...
Yeah, Malach Hashem Tzvakos is it.
That's in Om Haba? with his own physical humor.
Now Hashem's book is referring to the Makom Hashchina, that the sun and the moon are dim.
And Vahaya Orka Havana is talking about Mashiach.
That's talking about also, according to the second terrace of the Gemara. There's two truths in the Gemara.
Right, according to the second terrace.
They're talking about the Makom of the Tzaddikim. Because Hashem is going to use the sun and the moon to reward Tzaddikim.
That is, even in Olam Haba.
Yes, he'll use it.
Because according to him, Mashiach is all physical. So it can't mean Mashiach.
The physicality stays the same.
There's no change.
Thank you.